we've been talking about setting the record straight. And some people might ask the question, why are you talking about setting the record straight? Because there's so many people here out in the body of Christ, and also people who are in the world who are confused about a whole lot of things when you're talking about the things of God or the things that could pertain to followers of Jesus. So God said, I want you to set the record straight. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about righteousness. And I asked God, I said, God, you've got to give me a simple way to explain righteousness to the people, because it can sound very religious, but it's not even about being religious. It's actually from a kingdom of God, governmental perspective. And the righteousness of God in a nutshell means believing that what God says is right. Believing what God says is right is a definition of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because until you come to a point where you believe that what God's word says is right, you will continue to lean to your own understanding. You will continue to lean to your own reasoning, and you will continue to get the same results that you've been getting before. Now, the definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing, expecting something different to happen. And today, I'm going to introduce you to something, and it's going to be so simple, a child could do it. And if I was to give this message a title, it will be Setting the Record Straight, It Takes Two. It takes two. And the reason why we say it takes two, because God asked the question in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, and he says this. He says, can two walk together except they are agreed? Have you ever seen a couple walking down the street and, you know, they're walking past this store and they go past this designer store and the wife sees this dress, the old boy, she's got to have it. But the husband wants to keep on walking because he wants to get down there to the ice cream shop before it gets closed. And she's pulling one way and he's pulling another way. And even though they're both walking, they're walking in different directions, so they're not getting anywhere fast. And God says that's the exact same thing that's happening to many people in the body of Christ. They are walking, but they're not getting anywhere fast. And they're praying and they're saying, God, why won't you do this? And God, why won't you do that? And God, I'm waiting on you. And God says, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you to come in agreement with me so that you can get my results. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And why does that matter when it comes to the things of righteousness? Why does it matter about whether I agree with God or not? Because in order to walk in agreement with God, in order to fulfill the things that God has called you to do, in order to operate according to the kingdom of God, you must agree this one thing. You must agree, and it sets the stage for everything else. And it's this: God's way is always right. God's way is always right. Until you agree that God's way is always right, you will always look for other opportunities or other methods by which to get things done that may be going polar opposite to what it is God's word is saying. You know, he says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. He says this. He says, come on now. He says, come now. He says, let us reason together, says the Lord. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, he says, they shall be as white as snow. He says, though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He didn't say just to be willing. He didn't say just to be obedient. He says, but if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God's saying, he says, when you understand that when my way is right, my things for you have already been established from the foundation of the world, when you realize that I only want my best for your life, and I've already set up every situation, and I've already set up every standard, and I've already set up every path that you need to go through, and the only thing I'm asking you to do is this one word: trust. We find this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It talks about how trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, ask him, inquire of him, and he will direct or lead you in the way that you should go. But the first thing you got to do is trust. Until you trust God, until you say God's way is always right, then you will always look for other opportunities. I tell you, oh, myself, you know, I knew at the age of 16 that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I knew it. In fact, I went to my parents and I told them, hey, I'm going to be a minister one day. And my parents didn't know what to do with it. My senior pastor didn't know what to do with it. So what did I do? I went back and started doing what 16-year-olds do. But I knew at that point that I would be doing what I'm doing today. But in the meantime, I wanted to be a firefighter. In fact, I was in the seventh grade. I said, I either want to be a firefighter or I want to be a lawyer. So those were my two goals in life, was to either be a firefighter or a lawyer. So, you know, I go through life. I go in the military. I do this. I do that. And then an opportunity comes for me to be able to go to firefighter school. So I enrolled. I got accepted. I'm in an accelerated program. I'm thinking this has got to be the Lord. And by this time, I'm still born again. I love God. I'm going to church. I'm doing all these things. But my goal was not to be was to be a firefighter. That was my goal. Even though I was already in church, I was already serving God. I was already in some form of ministry. But my goal and my ambition was to be a firefighter. Why am I telling you this? Because I thought my way of thinking was right. In my mind, it made complete sense. And that's why it says in Proverbs chapter 16:25, it says, there is a way that seems right unto the man, but the end of that way is destruction. And now I'm in firefighter school. I'm doing my thing. I'm going through. I take a test and I don't do well on tests. And I always did well on tests. But then I'm like, okay, that's just the first test. But then I took the second test and I did better, but I didn't do as well as I should. And see, in that program, you couldn't bomb tests, because if you bombed about three or four tests, you might as well drop out of the program, because you were not going to be able to pass, because it was an accelerated test. So I went home and I'm like, God, what is wrong? I don't bomb tests. I don't struggle with doing these things. What is the problem? He says, pray and fast tomorrow. He says that I'll tell you. So I pray and I fast. And that's another thing. If you want to get an answer from God, you got to shut some things down. A lot of times you got to push away from that plate and get along with God. And you and God just get together and you're just seeking God. You're not seeking things. You're seeking God and you're seeking his direction and you're seeking his guidance. So I'm praying and fasting. I'm praying and fasting. And then the next day, it's almost time to get ready to go to class. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to get ready to go to class. And you haven't said anything yet. So I'm getting ready to go to class and everything. And I asked them before I get ready to walk out the door. I said, okay, Lord, what is it that you have called me to do? You know, I need some help with the firefighter part. You know what he said to me? He says, I never called you to be a firefighter. I called you to be a youth pastor. I said, what? A youth pastor? He says, I called you in the youth ministry. And I argued with him. I'm like, okay, I did. I'm telling on myself. I did. I'm like, Lord, there's no such thing as youth ministry. He says, yes, there is. I said, no, there's not. He says, yes, there is. I said, okay, really? Prove it. He said, I tell you what, go down to this city on this day, and I'm going to show you there is a such thing as youth ministry. Can I tell you, I went down there on that day to that city, to that church, and guess what I found out? There was very much a youth ministry. What ended up happening to the firefighter? I had a withdrawal from the class. When I withdrew from the program, I still ended up spending money for a class I never was going to take, because I had settled in my mind, I had leaned to my understanding that this is what I always wanted to do. Obviously, God, this is something that God wanted me to do. And I was as far as the east is from the west, so far was I from what it is he told me to do. So I remember being at work a few days later, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm having a pity party, because I'm like, Lord, you know I wanted to be a firefighter. And you know what he come back to say to me? He said, you are. I said, here we go. I said, no, I'm not. He says, yes, you are. I said, but I wanted to be a firefighter and a lawyer. He says, you're both. And I'm like, okay, prove it. He says, you're a firefighter when somebody's going when they got a fire going on in their life, I'll give you a word to speak to them that will put the fire out in their life. I said, okay, what about being a lawyer? He says, you're a lawyer when you're standing in prayer for somebody who they don't know how to stand on their behalf. You will be the one between me and them who's coming on their behalf, and I'll give you an answer, and I'll change that situation on their behalf because you prayed for them. He says, see, you're a firefighter and a lawyer. And oh, by the way, you're still in ministering to youth. I stood there in astonishment, like everything I wanted to do, I was already doing. I was just doing it in a different way. But there's one thing I had to do when it came to the word of the Lord. I had to trust that what God was saying was right. And that's the same thing he's saying here to you and me. He says, if you're going to operate according to the righteousness of God, if you're going to function in the kingdom of God, the first thing you need to decide to do is realize and believe that God's ways are always right, that his word is always right. And how do you find out if God is already right? Because you got to get into his word. The word of God is the will of God. You know, the thing about the word of God, there's power in the word of God. We find out this when you realize that God's ways and God's word is always right. You let every decision, every argument, every thought, every reasoning be lined up next to the word of God. And whatever the word of God says, that's what you do about that situation. Why? Because see, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says that for the word of God is living and it is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the discerner between the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. The word of God discerns the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Again, the word of God is the only book that while you're reading it, it's reading you. It's showing you areas in your life that you might think is right. You might even think it's tight. I'll tell on myself again. Just before we came on the broadcast tonight, I was praying for particular churches and ministries. And God said, hey, I need you to pray for this church. And this is why, because there's an area that there might be a little division, or there might be an area of enmity between this ministry and some thoughts that you have about it. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, okay. I said, what do you need me to do? He says, I want you to pray for them. He says, I want you to pray for them, and I want you to bless them. And I want you, and this is how I want you to pray for them. And I pray for them just like I would be praying for myself. And do you want to know what happened in the midst of that? While I'm praying for them, because one of the things I said, Lord, if I have been holding things, I release them from it right now in the name of Jesus. And I spoke to any enmity, whether I had enmity against them or they had enmity against me, I speak to that situation and curse it and cause it to go away now in Jesus' name. Do you know what God did about that situation? He took it like a backpack, lifted it out of the way, and opened up this door. And the moment that I obeyed what it is he said, this is what your ministry will be known for. And I'm like, what? He says, and because of what you just did, this is what your ministry is going to be known for. And not about division, not about enmities or anything like that, but God will use you to be a healing agent to other ministries, other churches, not only in your community, but out throughout the world. But the only way I learned that is because his word discerned the very thoughts and intents that was in my heart, even that I did not even realize. He also goes on to say this about the power of the word. In accordance to John chapter 6 and 63, it says, it is the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh doesn't profit. It profits nothing. He says, the words, this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In fact, the words that I'm speaking to you right now, the words that God speaks to me right now, they are spirit and they are life. God, Jesus prayed this prayer and said this over to God about the body of Christ, about his disciples, about you and me who weren't even born yet. This is the word that Jesus says, asked the Father to do. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. There is no your truth and my truth. There's only one truth. There's only one absolute truth, and that's the truth that comes from the Word of God. And the only way that you can function in the kingdom of God effectively, the only way that you can bring about change in your life and in the lives of those around you is when you make a decision that the Word of God is always right. And because the Word is always right, you're going to trust in the Lord. Because you know the Word is always right, whatever the Word says to do, that's what you're going to do. Whatever the Word says not to do, that's what you're not going to do. Whatever the Word says to say, that's what you say. Whatever the things the Word says not to say, you're going to stop saying. I'll tell on myself again. Because it's easier to tell on me than it is to talk about somebody else. My wife and I, Pastor Jew, and we joke around a lot. We play around a lot and everything. But you know, sometimes your sarcasm, even though you're saying it jokingly, there's some amount of truth in what it is that you're saying. So one day we was joking around and everything, and all of a sudden it kind of turned, and it turned sour quick. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm walking away and I'm going on about my business and everything. And I'm doing other things. I'm in one part of the house. She's in the other part of the house. And the father says to me, he says, I need you two to stop joking like that because those words have power. He says, and not only do I need you to stop joking like that, he says, I need you to speak words of life over that situation. I need you to speak words of life to one another, because when you speak anything else under that, when you speak anything else other than what the Word of God has to say about it, you release the adversary to bring those things to pass in your life. Now, you might have been joking, you meant nothing by it, but the spirit realm doesn't know the difference. So the spirit realm, when you say words, either you're putting your angels into action or you're putting demonic spirits into action. Your words have power. And your word, God's word in your mouth has the same amount of power as God's word in his own mouth, because at the end of the day, the words still belong to the Father. We find this in 1 Psalms 91, as you were Psalms 119, verse 9, still talking about the Word of God has power. It says this, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How can your ways be clean? How can your life be clean? How can your life represent the kingdom? How can your life represent God? By the word. Because it's according to your word, you can be and will be cleansed. And I'm going to share more about that in a moment. He also says this in Psalms 119, 142. He says this. He says, your righteousness, your way of doing and being right, is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. He goes on to say in Psalms 119, 151, he says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Now, we was talking about how, you know, the Word of God, when you get the Word of God, that word cleanses you. That word, when someone takes heed according to your word, it cleanses you. Something we find out when Paul was sharing with the church at Ephesus about how does the body of Christ and the relationship that Jesus have with the church, how does it look like a marriage? He says this. He says, Ephesians chapter 5, 27, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, think about that. It says husbands of one wife, a biblical, physically born male and a physically born female coming together in the covenant of marriage. Now, I'm not talking about common law marriages that the world says, because that's not how God operates. I'm not talking about two people living together. I'm not talking about somebody who says they identify as this, they identify as that. No, I'm talking about two people who are a biologically born male and a biologically born female coming together in the covenant of marriage. God's saying, husbands, this is what my instructions to you are. This is my way of being right. Husbands, if you want to be right according to the word of God, when it comes to your wife, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, or he would, what did Christ do? He was willing to lay his life down for the church. And husbands, he's saying, be willing to lay your life down. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you just have to die. That means sometimes you got to lay your own ambitions down to be able to help support your wife, so that by helping support her, it helps support or build up your marriage unit and make it stronger. And he says, not only are you to love her like Christ loved the church and gave him so for, and what did Christ do? That he might sanctify or set apart. And what else did he do? He cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or without any such thing, or without any blemishes. So what is a husband supposed to do with his wife? The exact same thing that Christ did with the church. He's supposed to speak the word over her. He's supposed to say, you know, you are my virtuous woman, according to Proverbs 31. He says that, you know, heart does safely trust in my wife. My wife will do me good and not evil all the days of my life. And what are you doing? You're washing your wife with the water of the word. Somebody said to me, are you brainwashing people? I said, absolutely, I'm brainwashing. I'm taking the word of God and I'm washing all that fear, doubt, and unbelief out of your head. I'm going to wash that stuff right out of your head. Why? Well, how am I going to do it? By the word of God. But the only way that it works is when I've already made a decision that God's word is always right. And I've come into an agreement with him that God, your word is always, always right. Jesus said this about his disciples. He says to them, when he's talking to them in John 15, chapter 3, Jesus is sharing the word with them, how, you know, he is the vine and we are the branches, and how God is the husbandman. And he says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't bear any fruit on your own apart from me. And he says to them in John chapter 15, verse 3, he says, now you are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. And that's what the word of the Lord is today. He says, when you come in agreement with me, when you make a decision that my way of doing things is right, when you make a decision that you're going to trust in God with all of your heart, you're not going to lean to your own understanding in all of your ways, you're going to acknowledge him. You're going to trust in him. You're going to rely on him. You're going to commune with him. You're going to fellowship with him. And you're going to say, Father, I seek your will concerning my marriage. Father, I seek your will concerning my finances. Father, I seek your will concerning my children. Father, I seek your will on how I'm going to take care of my body, because I realize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to use my body to glorify you. I'm going to use my words to glorify you in all that I say and do. I'm going to glorify you. I'm not going to give you lip service. I'm not going to say one thing and do something altogether different. Glory to God, because he says that's the other thing you got to be on guard for. You have to guard against leaning to your own understanding. You have to guard against your own reasoning. But he also says this, you have to guard against flattering God, because flattery won't get it done. We find this in Psalm 78, 36. He says, they flattered him with their words. This is children of Israel talking to God. He says, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. We find out in Isaiah 29 and 13, we find out that the Lord says this. He said, inasmuch, and he says this, Milton, he says, this is happening in places all over the world. He says, and that's why he's bringing an awareness and a sounding the alarm. And that's why we're sounding the alarm about setting the record straight, because it takes two walking in agreement, not just with lip service, but making a heart decision, and then make it that God's way is always right, and then being doers of what the word says and not a hearer only, to the point where you're deceiving your own self. He says this in the Psalms, as you were, Isaiah 29 and 13. He says, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, he says, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me, or their reverential fear towards me, is taught by the commandments of men. I know while I was growing up, people said, you better be afraid of God, because God will hit you with lightning. God will put sickness and disease on you. God will cause you to be in an accident. God will do all these things. But what I found out when I studied the Word of God, that's not the nature or character of God. God is love. He doesn't just have love. He is the very essence of love. And God is saying to this, saying to me, and God is saying to you, and God is sounding this alarm across the entire body of Christ all over the world. Flattery doesn't move the needle. Flattery doesn't get you anywhere. God doesn't want lip service. Remember, he says those who are willing and obedient to what? To his word will eat the good of the land. And this is what God told me, and this is where we're going to close at. This is what God shared with me years ago. When he says this, he says, in accordance to Ezekiel 33 and 31, this is what he says. He says, they come to you as a people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear with your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words. Catch this part. But they do not do them. And when it comes to pass, when all this comes to pass, he says, surely it will come that they will know that a prophet has been among them. And what is he saying to you? And what is he saying to me? Why are these things so? In Mark chapter 7, verse number 6, he says, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He says, and in vain they worship me, teaching us the doctrines, the commandments of men. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. He says, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He says, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Verse 13 says it, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things do you do. He says, you have not let the word of God, or made the God, the word of God, the final authority in your life. You have not said, you know what, God, I make a heart decision today that your way is right. Do you know, in order to get saved, you have to make a hard decision that the word of God that you've heard is right, that you believe that what God said about his son Jesus is right? That word confession in the Greek is homologio, which simply means saying the same thing, or doing what? Coming into an agreement. Who has to come into agreement? The two have to come into an agreement that what God's way, what God's word says is right. And you know, the thing about it is the two coming in agreement. The thing is God won't come in agreement with you. You have to come in agreement with him in order to get his things done in your life. Now, you can say, you know what, God, I'm only going to come this far. And as far as you're willing to come in agreement, that's as far as you'll be able to receive for him. Even though he has it all laid up for you, you make a decision. You and me both make a decision that we are either going to accept what it is his word says, or we're going to make our own decision to follow our own way. And then when we get those results, we can't blame God, because God is only obligated to watch over his word to perform it. This last scripture, he says in Isaiah 55, he says, my word, which goes forth out of my mouth, he says, will not return unto me void, but it must accomplish that which I please and prosper in the things whereto I have sent it. Wherever God's word is, and the people come in agreement with his word, or the people make a decision to that God's word is right and they do it, that word will accomplish the thing that he sent it for to accomplish. How do you know? Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 is a great example. He says, the word of God is near you. He says, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith, which we preach, that if you will confess, come in agreement with, say the same thing, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He says, but with confession, the mouth, with confession of your mouth brings about salvation. What? You got to believe in your heart that provides what? Righteousness, right standing, or you believe in your heart that God's word is right. And whatever areas you believe God's word is right, that's the areas where you will see manifested in your life. I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you made him the Lord of your life, but you know you haven't been living right, or if you just want to make a fresh dedication today, man, I want you to make that decision that God, your word is right. Say this with me. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I confess you as Lord over my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you into right standing with God, welcome you into right position with God. What do you got to do next? Man, you got to get in a word-based church to teach you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, teach you about the love of God, but also teach you about the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're here every week at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays, and we love to share this message and other messages with you. Now, you can follow us on our podcast, it's Ignite to Life. That is Ignite, the number 2, Life podcast, where you'll hear this message and hear other messages. I want to invite you to subscribe, like, and share this message if it's been a blessing to you. On Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and I want to give you this point of action. This week, I want you to meditate on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, not leaning to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledging him, asking him, inquiring of him, and allow him to direct your path, because his way is always right. God bless you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.